USA.gov, the government's signature website, is about to undergo a refresh. The web portal, which is operated by the General Services Administration, lets visitors search for government information based on topics or agency. But it's not always been so easy to use. Here with more on the changes is Sarah Crane, the acting director of the Federal Citizen Information Center at GSA. Ms. Crane, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
All right. So this is not the first time USA.gov has undergone an overhaul, correct?
No, certainly not. This is our fifth overhaul in the 14 years that we've been around.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good record. I wish some other sites I go to a lot overhauled so often, because they do get long in tooth, don't they?
They do. So we found that generally a smaller approach, more iterative approach to smaller changes has worked well for us. This last one was much more radical.
Okay, so besides the fact that there's now a portrait of a young lady on the front page there, on the home page, this is not the same lady that was on healthcare.gov, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so. I don't remember. But tell us, first of all, what was the underlying reasons for the change that that you're about to launch?
Philosophically, we realize the value of a portal is changing as the web audience becomes much more adept at searching and going directly to their destination. At the same time, other agency websites are fantastic. They're improving. They're getting their own search engine optimization. And so the idea of USA.gov as a router was just not sustainable for us. So we really wanted to look at its most utility for other agencies and for the public, and recognize that a portal was not the way to go, but a publishing platform would probably be more effective. We saw a growing number of mobile users, so we recognized that among our audience, we needed to put our content in a much more adaptable format so that it would be useful in future formats as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the back end then a little bit then. So this is a change in the way that it's programmed so that it can respond to what type of device the person coming at it is using?
Absolutely. The changes are completely foundational. So for the first time, we're generating the website from our own content API, which means that central content API can be used in mobile formats, in mobile apps. It could be used for printing. It could be used in magazines. It could be used in e-readers or on websites. And it's the first time that we've ever freed our content into a completely structure, format agnostic method. Not only that, we've designed it from a mobile-first perspective, so we actually started the design on a handheld device, and it really forced us to ask what's the most important information that we need to include for the audience that needs it the fastest. And then from there, we added and bigger resolutions.
And so what did it take to accomplish all of those changes? I mean, that's really a major programming, plumbing job, as you call it, foundational.
It is. It's a pretty major project. We had a design component of it. We implemented a new content management system that's open source. We also integrated our content API with our contact center agent knowledge console. So for the first time, the agents who answer the phone at 1-844-USA-GOV-1 are seeing the exact same content that we have on the website. So it was about a year-long process with a lot of moving parts.
And I see that if you look at it on a computer screen, it seems to be centered around the search window, almost like when you go to Google.com. And that's a big change from the older site. But yet, when you look at it on a mobile device, which I'm doing right now, courtesy of Matt Wingfield, who brought his iPhone in with it called up for me, the search window is not that prominent. And so that seems
to be
that's an example of the adaptation to the device that the person is using.
That's right. Our testing showed that on the mobile devices, people preferred to tap, scroll, and click rather than use the keyboard to search. On desktop, it's a different story. People are very happy to use their keyboard and search. In fact, that's their preference. So we wanted to modify the design for the device that a user would be using at any given time.
And let's get back to the idea that there are so many there's a proliferation of websites. I know this particular White House has launched a giant number of sites ending in .gov for whatever initiative it thinks it's important right now. And there's many, many that have come out. So getting away from the portal seems to acknowledge the fact that there are too many links that you could possibly get in any single portal. Correct.
We really recognize that there's no way USA.gov could encompass all the information that's published in the .gov domain right now. So we focus on our users' top tasks. And because we have an agency agnostic kind of perspective, we look at all of our assets across the channels, across the web, the contact center, even the publications warehouse in Pueblo, Colorado, and found the most popular topics. The breadth is still just as wide, but the depth is only about 50% what it was before. So our site has reduced almost 50%. And that's in an effort to say we can't be everything to everyone. We can't capture the entire .gov ecosystem. So let's focus on what most people are coming to USA.gov to do.
Now, that's likely to change over time. So can you adapt the site as preferences change and as the search history shows what their preferences might be shifting towards?
Absolutely. In fact, iterative design is one of our core principles. So we have a performance measurement team that's always watching behavior on the site on different devices. It flags different behaviors, problem areas, new areas of interest. We're also getting feedback from our contact center for the first time ever, the agents who answer the emails and do the IM chats with our users are able to tell us directly which topics are coming up in conversation frequently. And we're doing a series of sprints to change the website so that it keeps up with the preferences of our users.
We're speaking with Sarah Crane. She's the acting director of the Federal Citizen Information Center at the General Services Administration. And tell us about the infrastructure for hosting this kind of thing. And what is it hosted on GSA servers, or do you have it on a content delivery system throughout the country? How does it all get served up?
It's hosted by GSA's CIO shop. We're in what's called the content management platform. So it's actually available for other agencies and other websites to use this as well, this adaptive content model. We're the first site to pilot it, and we found great success so far. So we're hoping that as we move out of beta, we'll be able to tell our story with other agencies as well and make the hosting environment available to them.
And given how important the search function is to the site, what is the technology that is powering the search that you have on the new version?
We use Elasticsearch to support the functionality within Drupal, and that's an open source tool. And we work very closely with the team that manages that digital gov search tool for other agencies. They're in our office, so we're constantly refining the experience for our search users.
And one of the attributes I've always found of USA.gov, and especially the current version, is how fast it loads. I mean, how do you maintain that speed going forward to the new version?
Thank you. That's part of our commitment to mobile first, because when people are on devices, they have absolutely no patience for long page load time. And also our audience for people with disabilities, because it can be especially difficult for those with visual or other disabilities to wait for a long page load time. So that's just one of the important criteria that we're always testing as we develop, as we test our code before we deploy. We make sure we can commit to a super fast load time.
I guess that's also a function of the architecture and maybe some of the more popular things that are called up staged. Their data is staged ahead of time so that every time that same thing gets called up, it's not coming from a great distance.
That's right. We use Akamai to cache our site. So there's distributed caching.
All right. Yeah, that's just the word I was trying to think of. And also, I think very popular has been the gobierno.usa, the Spanish language version. Is this also getting updated in tandem with the English version?
Absolutely. Gobierno.usa.gov is one of my favorite success stories. It uses the exact same architecture and code and design templates as USA.gov. So we were able to save a lot of time and money there. But they have a distinct audience, and so their content model is slightly different. They're also undergoing the update, as well as kids.usa.gov.
All right, and so just give us a sense of the scope of the team that is at GSA and what level of contractor support you have to keep this whole apparatus going.
Well, it really is a group effort, and in the past year, we've moved away from product-centered teams to skills-based teams. So we no longer have a contact center team and a web team and a print team. Instead, we have an accessibility team, a marketing team, a performance measurement team, and these folks look at all of our products across the channels. We have about 40 federal employees, and we have a handful of contractors that support this. But it really is, we call on our friends and other agencies, and we work closely with other offices within GSA, because USA.gov really is a shared service that we all support and use.
Now, you've got this 18F group over there in GSA that are some of the whiz kids from government, drawn from government and from the outside. Are they helping the effort also?
Absolutely, and we're so excited. We got to work with them on many of the design and user exercises. They helped contribute to our personas and journey mapping as we were really looking at the customer experience on USA.gov, and we love working side by side with them.
All right, so what's the timetable? Now, when someone goes to USA.gov right now, they can find the beta site, which is mostly functional. When will
That's
you
right.
switch over for good?
We are hoping by the end of July. We've been in beta since the end of May, and so we're using this period to really finish up our work on the remaining pages, get comments and feedback from our users, and then make another round or two of improvements before we launch full-fledged at the end of July.
All right. Sarah Crane is the acting director of the Federal Citizen Information Center at the General Services Administration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.